joining me in the studio this morning from Pasco, Washington. Am I saying that right,
yeah,
David?
Yeah, you're right.
Pasco, Washington is Professor David Arnold. He's with Basin College.
Columbia there. Basin College.
Columbia Basin College, right on the Columbia River. And you're going to be giving a presentation tonight over at the university.
That's right. I'm talking about wild salmon and wild fishermen, whatever that means.
I know. It's an intriguing kind of PSA. We've been listening to it. But I got your book right here in my hand. It is hefty, and I think this is...
Well, it's not too hefty.
It's not like the print is... You know, it's not like the Oxford English Dictionary or anything, but it's the book is. I guess I want to say there's some substance here. This is not a casual romp through the commercial fishing industry. This is a kind of a detailed examination of the culture of salmon, and I think you have hit the bullseye of our interests here in Sitka.
Well, if I had taken a casual romp through the fisheries, maybe I'd sell more books.
Right.
But I went to the archives instead, mm-hmm. spent a lot of time in Juneau, spent a lot of time listening to oral interviews. It's not so hefty. There's five chapters, there's some good stuff in there about people and salmon.
And how did you become interested in it? Was it looking down on the Columbia River and thinking about these amazing salmon that have this incredible life cycle out in the ocean?
Well, I wish it were, because that sounds really romantic and nice. But instead, it was just growing up in Seattle, being an 18-year-old kid, and someone saying, hey, go to Alaska and work in the fisheries. And I started doing that. I did that for about 15 summers. Worked on the back deck of commercial fishing boats, worked in canneries, just got interested in it. The interesting thing is in that 15 years, I only spent one full summer in Southeast Alaska. I was working at a cannery in Petersburg. I think that was 1991. Most of the years I spent were in Bristol Bay, mm-hmm. a couple years on the Cook Inlet, working on gillnetters there. I just became fascinated with fishing, the fishing lifestyle, the people who come up here, the native peoples who've been fishing for hundreds of years, thousands of years, the immigrant fishermen who came up, all these people trying to make a lifestyle of this, some would say a dying way of life, right? The last hunter-gatherers, right, out in the sea, you know, mm-hmm. Fishing and hunting, right? And it was just kind of a remarkable thing. I thought about writing a book about Bristol Bay, but once I started looking at the archival research, because I am a historian, I have to admit, you know, I had to look at the material, and it's amazing. The story for Southeast Alaska is just amazing, and there's good archives, so, you know, historians like that.
Yeah, the pictures in the book are just amazing. Some of these, there's a picture of a skiff that is, they talk about, it is loaded down to the gunnels.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, people sink boats almost every year, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Or almost, just loading them up with salmon. It's really an amazing thing. The bounty of salmon, the fact that it still exists in Alaska is a remarkable thing. I think, you know, it's a durable fishery. I mean, I think if you think about the discourse about salmon and about environment, you could maybe miss the point that a lot of people still fish, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go down south, a lot of people think, oh, you know, there's still wild salmon around, right? You know, they eat farm fish, and they don't think about the fact that, gosh, Alaska is really still has an amazing bounty of salmon. There's still a lot of people up here trying to forge a livelihood from going out and catching those wild fish.
And it sounds like you might have forged your livelihood, and it sounds like your interest in the fisheries, your early experiences here kind of might have catalyzed you to go into academics and study this area.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I did. I started going, working in the fisheries when I was 19. I was a history major. I didn't really connect the two until I got into grad school. In fact, I was down in Los Angeles at grad school. I grew up in Seattle. Then I got out of the rain and I went down to Southern California. And I was looking at all kinds of different topics. I was looking at, police brutality in the African-American community and, you know, things like that. And it was funny because I wasn't really thinking about what I did in the summer as an academic pursuit. And I remember it was 1991. I came up. I went to Bristol Bay. I was working on the back deck of a fisherman's boat. And there was a fisherman's strike that year. And a lot of people – in fact, I don't know what happened in the Southeast that year, but there may have been some fisherman strikes down here because the price was very, very low. And what I realized is, wow, there's a lot going on here. You know, there's a international market. There's a global farm fish economy. There's immigrant fishermen. There's native fishermen. There are fishermen's unions and cooperatives and so forth. It was a very interesting scene, and it made me realize, wow, there's really something here. I need to start doing some research on this. I came back from the summer and changed all my research plans and decided that I was going to make the Alaska fishing industry the focus of my my historical research.
And it is the Fisherman's Frontier, is this the first of many, or is this a culmination?
It's the first in a great trilogy, three-book trilogy. The next one goes to Bristol Bay, and then the Cordova Center. I really don't know. That's a great question. I would like to do something on Bristol Bay because, in the end, it's funny. I mean, I'm really more of an outsider in Southeast in terms of my own personal experience. I've done the research. I've been in Juneau. I've done a lot of research in, you know, places like Anchorage and University of Washington Library down, Fisheries Library down in Seattle, all on Southeast Alaska, but I haven't spent that much time in Southeast Alaska. I've spent a lot more time in places like Bristol Bay, and I actually began the book. It was going to be a comparison of sort of Bristol Bay and Southeast and some different fishing areas in Alaska, and that became so big and unwieldy that I thought, gosh, if I ever want to finish my degree, I need to cut it down. And I fastened on the Southeast Alaska story because it really, I thought it was the most compelling and dramatic story, and the resources were there. And so I focused on that in the end. But maybe sometime I'll write a book about Bristol Bay. I think I'd like to do that.
It's great to hear a former grad student talk about successfully narrowing down a thesis.
Right. This is a hard thing to do. That's correct.
You mentioned when you were talking about your experience in Bristol Bay during the strike that, you know, there's this whole aspect of there's a native side to the fishery. And I think that's interesting that your book, The Fisherman's Frontier, sort of begins with an analysis of the Aboriginal fisheries, because a lot of people listening now, you know, they go to the Board of Fish meetings and they, you know, they hear a lot of studies from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, most of which begin the day that ADF&G came into existence and started keeping records. Yet there's a culture here that knows that there's this whole sort of pre-time, pre-ADF&G, that doesn't seem to be, you know, accounted for. And it seems like you kind of bring that into the story.
Yeah, well, you have to. I don't think you can begin anywhere else. It's funny because I wasn't originally going to do that. I was more interested after that strike in 1991 in fishermen's unions and how did we get to this point kind of as a labor system. And what I realized is, well, I can't write a history of this unless I kind of excavate back to the first fishermen, the Aboriginal fishermen, in this case down here, you know, the Tlingit and Haida fishermen. And I think that's the baseline of the story. And, you know, my book, I think, unlike some other books, you know, native peoples, they don't vanish. They don't disappear from the story, you know, after 1890s. And of course, that's true in Southeast Alaska. They don't disappear. They're still here. They're still out there fishing and so forth. And, it's interesting what you say about, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and so forth. It was like that, with the Bureau of Fisheries, the U.S. Bureau of Fisheries, when Alaska was a territory, that the fisheries managers came up and they said, well, we're going to use our science and we're going to use our studies and so forth, and we're going to redefine the fishery here. And they didn't often go and ask those people who'd been fishing for hundreds of years about their experience. They didn't often incorporate the local knowledge that those people had into their fisheries regulations. And I think it created a lot of havoc in the fishery because of that.
And you found some sources for Aboriginal analysis of the fisheries.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think what you have to do is you go to anthropology first, and you go to the oral histories. There's a lot of oral histories, and that's the amazing thing about Southeast Alaska is that there's just a treasure trove of information out there. And the Tlingit and Haida have an amazing history, and they've done a pretty good job in the Sea Alaska Corporation and so forth of cataloging their history as well and saving some of those oral histories and those oral traditions. And you can go to archives around here and you can still listen to a lot of great interviews done by anthropologists or Forest Service people in the 1970s with Tlingit and Haida elders who talk about the traditions and the customs of that fishery. And so I used a lot of sources like that. There's a lot of oral histories in there, but I didn't do those oral histories. And, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing. I mean, I sat in the library and listened to like hundreds of hours of oral histories that other people had done, mostly in the 1970s. But yeah, there are a lot of sources, and there are a lot of ethnographies. And of course, there are people, you know, that you can talk to.
I guess it's good to see that work bearing fruit in a meaningful way. University of Washington Press did not give you a book tour when Fisherman's Frontier came out, I guess 4 years ago or so. This is the first time you've taken the book on the road tonight, right?
Yeah, well, of course, there was going to be the New York, Boston, Washington, D.C. book tour. That sort of, you know, fell through because of my, right. You know, my classes at Columbia Basin College. But yeah, no, of course, academic presses and little professors like me from little colleges, we don't get book tours. This is about as good as it gets, and I'm telling you, I don't say that lightly. This is as good as it gets for me. I mean, if I didn't write the book just to get invited to Sitka, but you know, if I had known that was going to happen, it would have been a motivating factor, because this is a pretty amazing thing to get invited up here. And the books are at Old Harbor; they're selling them, you know, 25% off. It means I'm going to make like you know, 75 cents a book instead of a dollar, but that's all right. You know, okay. I'm okay with that. I want people to buy the books, and so it's just been great to be invited up here by the Sitka Conservation Society, and it's really as much as I could have hoped for. It's fantastic.
All right. Well, the program is tonight at 7 o'clock at UAS in room 106. And you're also going to be talking tomorrow at 4 o'clock in the afternoon at Kettleson.
That's right. Yeah, I'll be in both places. I'll be signing books. And if people are actually going to buy a book, I'll just write about anything they want when I sign the book. You know, they can just tell me what they want me to write, and I'll just write, you know, whatever they want.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Well, thanks a lot, Rob. I really appreciate it.
I've been speaking with David Arnold. He is a professor of history at Columbia Basin College in Pasco, Washington. He is the author of the book, The Fisherman's Frontier, People and Salmon in Southeast Alaska. He'll be presenting tonight, 7 o'clock, room 106 at UAS, 4 p.m. tomorrow at Kettleson.